I like to say there's a lot going on in this week's Torah portion. There always is, isn't there? He packs a lot. But in this Torah portion, this week, there's a lot going on for both the Israelites and the Egyptians, actually. Even as the last few words of the portion last week points us to an anticipation of things to come that are going to happen in this week's portion. Adonai said to Moses, almost the final words of the portion last week, "Now you will see what I will do to Pharaoh." Adonai is about to do something great. He's about to start a great act. And by now we know that whenever Adonai moves, Satan tries to move and counter against him so that others won't follow Adonai. So this is really an indication that things are about to start for both sides. Adonai prepares the people by giving what's called the I will statements in Exodus 6:6, which is a declaration of what Adonai will do for his people, which when we read it, sounds familiar to our ears because really we hear it every year out of the Passover Haggadah when we drink the four cups. Now, in the Exodus story, what we're reading through, we see Adonai start to do things to show his power and authority. And Satan tries to keep up with his power, at least with what he thinks is his power. There's a showdown of sorts. When Moses goes to Pharaoh and says that the Israelites were to be released to worship Adonai, then Satan tries to manipulate Pharaoh and the Egyptians into thinking that he has just as much power, just as much authority as Adonai does. And he does this through the magicians. His magicians try to keep up with Adonai's miracles. Spoiler alert, he doesn't. This is why I've called this week's message Miracles versus Magic. Because that's what we're going to see this week. That's what we're going to key in on. Miracles and magic. Because it's a common deceitful trick for Satan. Then and now, he tries to fool people by coming with magic when Adonai comes with miracles. So before we get into the scripture to see this showdown a little bit, let's get a working definition of what a miracle is and what magic is. Now basically, magic and miracles differ in their source. Magic has either a human or demonic source, but miracles are a supernatural work from God. There's another important factor that distinguishes the two. It's who the attention is drawn to. Magic is like, you know, when someone does magic, it's, "Look what I did. Look what I can do." When it's a miracle, it's, "Look what Adonai did. Look what Adonai can do." Excuse me. Now, there are really two types of magic that I want to point out today. Entertainers, which many of them are called magicians today, are really sleight of hand or illusions. In fact, most magicians today prefer to be called illusionists. An illusionist does not consider what they do to be real magic. But the uneducated in the audience may think that it's magic. They don't understand the trick, Therefore, it must be magic. Excuse me, I need to pop a lozenge. People like magic. They like not being able to figure out how it's done. But it truly is just a trick. Now, the other kind of magic is what some people might call real magic. It comes through the occult or demonic powers. The scripture speaks of false wonders in 2 Thessalonians 2. Let's take a look, starting in verse 9. The coming of the lawless one is connected to the activity of Satan, with all power and signs and false wonders, and with every kind of wicked deception towards those who are perishing. They perish because they did not accept the love of the truth so as to be saved. The coming of the Antichrist will have this kind of magic associated with it. He will use all sorts of displays of power through signs and false wonders that serve a lie about who has authority and power. This type of magic is sometimes spelled slightly different. Instead of just M-A-G-I-C, it's spelled M-A-G-I-C-K. It distinguishes from sleight of hand and is associated with divination, conjuring, and sorcery. And it's condemned in Scripture. You can look at Deuteronomy 18. Deuteronomy 18, starting in verse 9. When you enter the land Adonai your God is giving you, you are not to learn to do the abominations of these nations or those nations. There must not be found among you anyone who makes his son or daughter pass through the fire, or a fortune teller, soothsayer, omen reader, or sorcerer, or one who casts spells, or a medium, a spiritualist, or one who calls up the dead. Notice, he places right beside human sacrifices, which is in the list when he says passing children through the fire, because that's what passing children through the fire was. It was a human sacrifice. All those things right are next to human sacrifices because they're abominations to him. Now remember, Adonai through Scripture never says that what he warns us is not real, but he says to stay away from them. That's the warning. There would not be a need of a warning if it wasn't true. There are some real powers attached to them. But the real issue is it's pulling away from the true source of power and authority, which is Adonai. Now, to distinguish between miracles and magic, we must answer the question of whose power do we see? For what is it happening, and for whose purposes do we see it? And for whose glory is it being done? Magic is always to pull us away from Adonai, when miracles are always to draw us nearer to Adonai. There's an author, Dr. Robert Leslie. He authored a book called Miracles in the ER. And he put it this way. Magic is the intentional effort to have us believe that what we see and experience is real when it isn't. While a miracle is the intentional effort to have us believe that what we see and experience is real when it is. One problem that people face today is that there's a difference between what most people think of as magic today, which is illusions, and the magic of scriptural times. The magic of today is sleight of hand and deception. The magic of spiritual times was truly what could be considered real magic. There was something that caused something to happen. There was something that caused something to be created. There was something that caused something supernatural. Back then, that was what was considered to be magic. We're told through scriptures that we are not to access them, not because they're not real, but because they're fooling people, not because they just fool people, but because they are real and draw people away from the true miracle worker. We can see this kind of magic a bit in Wiccan today. Scripture always makes a distinction between those who are used for miracles and those who perform magic. The workers of magic in Egypt are called sorcerers and magicians. And we see this in Exodus 7. Starting in verse 10 of Exodus 7, it says this. So Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh, and did as Adonai had commanded. Aaron threw down his staff before Pharaoh and before his servants, and it became a serpent. When Pharaoh called for the wise men and the sorcerers, they too, the magicians of Egypt, did the same with their secret arts. Moses and Aaron are never called or identified by those same names. The works that God did through Moses and Aaron were true miracles, whereas the tricks of Pharaoh's magicians were meant to trick and harden Pharaoh's heart. And the magic did harden his heart. We remember that when they were able to turn water to blood, that just like Aaron, they also were able to copy the second plague with the frogs, but they couldn't copy the third plague, which was lice. Their magic had limits to it. And I believe there are even more limits than what's expressly told in Scripture. Because after the water was turned to blood, and after the frogs came up onto the ground, Pharaoh goes back to his palace. What do you think the first thing he did? He probably turned to his magicians and said, okay, get rid of them now. And they could not do it. Their magic wasn't that great. Exodus 7:3 has the words of Adonai and what we should have what was expected. One verse, 7:3. Yet I will harden Pharaoh's heart and multiply my signs and wonders in the land of Egypt. So in the Hebrew, signs and wonders are the words oath and mofeth. They both can mean miracle. But why have the same word twice? Now, in Hebrew, sometimes when you have a word repeated, it's to give emphasis to it. So this would not be miracle and miracles. I don't believe. But it's to show what was going to happen. And I think the first word there, oath, Adonai is referring to the creation of the miracle, which we see that the magicians could very limitedly do. And the second word, mofeth, is the removing of the miracle, which the magicians could not do at all. Now, if each one of these plagues, the 10 of them, each targeted a specific god of Egypt, then the miracle was Moses called them out into action, caused them to come onto the land. But the wonder is that he was able to remove them as well. And when I, of course, say Moses, I mean Adonai through Moses, Adonai through Aaron. The magicians couldn't do that. The magicians may have been able to copy the actions of Adonai with their magic a little bit. Not all of it, a little bit. But it really was only what they could see that they were able to copy. They'd never seen the removal before, so they couldn't recreate it through their magic arts. They could not do what Adonai could do. Their magic, which was actually very limited, as I said, when compared to Adonai's miracles, gave Pharaoh a false and an unrealistic sense of strength when facing off with Moses, Aaron, and Adonai. This is Satan's plan, which he used over and over through the years, even right through to today. In the Brit Hadashah, the New Covenant, there are examples of miracles versus magic. The evidence of the true God versus false gods. We see one example of this in Acts 8. Here we see where Philip, one of Yeshua's disciples, who went to Samaria to share the good news. So let's set it up with a couple of verses, starting in verse 8, starting in verse 5, Acts 8, 5. Philip went down to the main city of Samaria and proclaimed the Messiah to them. The crowds were paying close attention to what Philip was saying, as they both heard and saw the signs that he was doing. For unclean spirits were coming out of many who were plagued, shrieking with a loud voice. Many paralyzed and crippled were healed also. So there was great joy in the city. Philip was doing miracles of Adonai's, healing and pointing the people to the one true king. At the same time, there was a man in the city named Simon who was trying to draw people away. So let's continue reading on Acts 8, starting in verse 9. Now a man named Simon had been practicing magic in the city and astonishing people of Samaria, saying he was someone great. They were all paying special attention to him, saying, "This man is the power of God that is called great." And they kept paying attention to him, because for a long time he had astonished them with his magical arts. But when they believed Philip proclaiming the good news about the kingdom of God in the name of Messiah Yeshua, both men and women were immersed. Even Simon believed, and after being immersed, he continued with Philip. And when he saw signs and great miracles happening, he was continually amazed. The people of Samaria were following Simon, the magician, because of his magic. But when they got to see true miracles, they, and even Simon, the magician, could no longer deny Adonai and can no longer follow false signs and wonders, which is the magic. People got to see side by side the difference between magic and miracles. That which comes from and points back to man, and that which comes from and points to the true God. People were willingly giving up their false beliefs in the magic and were being immersed in water a public proclamation of their faith in Messiah Yeshua and Adonai. Over and over again, Satan tries to turn people from Adonai. It's his job to follow him. That's what he wants, people to turn from Adonai and follow him. We see another example in Acts 13 when Rav Shaul, the Apostle Paul, comes against a magician. Acts 13, 6, starting there. And then I'm going to do 6 to 10 and then skip down to 12. When they had gone throughout the whole island as far as Paphos, they found a man who was a magician, a Jewish false prophet, whose name was Bar Yeshua. He was with the proconsul, Sergius Paulus, an intelligent man. This man summoned Barnabas and Saul and sought to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the magician, for so his name is translated, was opposing them, seeking to turn the proconsul away from the faith. But Saul, who is also Paul, filled with the Ruach HaKodesh, fixed his gaze upon him and said, "O you, full of all deceit and trickery, son of the devil, enemy of the righteousness, will you not stop making crooked the straight paths of the Lord?" When he saw what had happened, the proconsul believed because he was astonished at the teaching about the Lord. Satan uses magic and magicians to pull people away from the truth. But miracles are the workings of Adonai to bring people to the truth. Now, during the late 1500s and early 1600s, the church would actually ask a question about Yeshua to test a person who is on trial. Tested them to see what they thought about the Messiah. The question they asked is if they believed Yeshua's miracles were performed by magic. Now, for some people, they wouldn't be able to distinguish between magic and miracles. But it cuts to the question, where did Yeshua get his power and authority from? That was the test. And quite frankly, it's the same test they put to Yeshua in his time. Matthew 12, we read the blind and mute man healed by Yeshua. So let's start in verse 22 of Matthew 12. Then a demon-plagued man who was blind and mute was brought to Yeshua, and he healed him, so that he spoke and saw. All the crowds were astonished and saying, "Can this be Ben David? This can't be Ben David, can it?" But hearing this, the Pharisees said, "This fellow drives out demons only by Beelzebub, the ruler of demons." What they were really saying is that Yeshua was using magic to heal, and it was not a true miracle from Adonai. They were trying to denigrate his power and denigrate the authority of Yeshua. They would rather give more credit to Satan than to give credence that the Messiah was there on earth, right there before them. Amen. They would rather believe in magic and that they were seeing a miracle, a miraculous power of Adonai right there before them. If this is also, and it's also the case with the world today, isn't it? So how many plagues or miracles do they need to see before fully becoming convinced that the magic of the world is nothing compared to the wonders of Adonai and his supernatural powers? And that the miracles of Adonai point not just to Adonai, but also to the Messiah that he sent to pay for the transgressions of the world. Perhaps for some, it's 70 times 7. But we have to keep putting it out there. Believing in magic limits the belief in the supernatural abilities of Adonai, including salvation. It's a sad fact that the world would rather believe in magic than the all-powerful God. The world loves magic because they want to believe that they can do the supernatural. They love magic because it proves that there is no supernatural. They love magic because they want to be fooled into a false sense of comfort, just like Pharaoh was. The problem is not really that they're tricking themselves into believing something that is not real, but that magic is real and it is not to be played with. Even though in the physical it has limits, in the spiritual it has unlimited abilities to draw people away from the salvation grace of Adonai as given through the blood of Yeshua HaMashiach. I would prefer myself to give magic a very wide berth. Do not play with contacting the dead. Do not play with fortune telling, palm reading, Ouija boards. I don't want to get into horoscopes, fortune cookies, and magic eight balls. Now, there are some things that I agree are just plain silly. Yeah,
that's right.
And many don't have any power at all. No authority or abilities. But they do have some ability in starting people into a slide. Yeah. A slide into the occult. A slide into demonic powers. It puts them on a path, that slippery slope, away from Adonai, into the world, and actually through the world, into satanic forces. There is no safe dabbling, in my opinion. Personally, reading a newspaper, flip through the horoscopes. Don't even look at it. Order Chinese food? Which Jew wouldn't order Chinese food? And it's okay to eat the fortune cookie. Personally, don't even look at that little piece of paper. Roll it up, toss it to the side. I know people who think they're fun little things. Don't even want to go there. Maybe it's just me. Just don't even think it's worth the slippery slope. Don't even put a toe on it. Magic eight balls? Aren't those just fun little things you shake up and you see what it says? Don't want to go there. Ouija boards? I'm telling you, I've heard stories from my own family that would scare you to death. Because Ouija boards are not fake. Don't you use them. Don't let your family use them. Don't put them in the hands of your children. They're sold in the toys and games section of your stores. They don't belong there. They don't belong in your house. They don't belong in your family. They don't belong in this world. Don't slide. Stand firm. Don't dip a toe into the occult, even if you don't see the direct connection. Fortune cookies, it's not really a cult, it's a fun little thing. Don't even start there.
Amen.
I may not be able to convince all of you not to read your fortune cookie. But, please, stay away.
Amen.
Stay away from horoscope. Stay away from fortune cookies. Stay away from Ouija boards. Stay away from those who say they can contact the dead. They're not really contacting the dead. They're contacting evil spirits that that dressed themselves up as the dead you loved to fool you and to draw you. Adonai warns us in Scripture for a reason, for a purpose. He does not say something as a warning, as if he's a parent who's trying to just scare his child. We're not going to go to the movies if you don't stop that. Adonai does not do that. He says what he says and he means what he means. If he says stay away from the occult, stay away from the occult. Father, we thank you that your word is true and that we can always depend upon it. We thank you that when you say something, you mean it. Give us unblinded eyes and clear minds to see, read, and understand your word. Your word that warns us to stay away from certain things, and your word that tells us to draw near to you. Ruach HaKodesh, we want to be people who draw near to you. We want to be people who are never drawn away from you. And if we're going to be people who are never drawn away, that means we can't be drawn to the things of the world, the things the world believes. But we can warn them. They may not take the warning the first time. Maybe we have to do it 7 times 70. But allow us to have those interactions. Allow us to always be ready in every season to speak to the world, to tell them about your greatness, your wonderfulness, your mercies that never end. Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for the encouragement today that came through your word. And everyone said, Amen. Amen. Amen.